Oh, geez. That's how good they were. I don't know. I don't know.
What do you think about that metal?
Nails.
Concrete. Fairly excited.
Was it the
Structural Engineering Podcast?
Welcome to this week's episode of the Structural Engineering Podcast. My name is Max.
And I'm Zach.
This week, we are talking about tornadoes. This is part of a two-part series, which will eventually become, very soon, our PDH credit. So look in the next week or so. I believe on the 9th, we'll be coming out with this. But RLG engineers, based out of Texas, with licenses in 48 states, so they work all across the country, and they do some really cool stuff. One of the big things they do is tornado shelters, tornado rehab, and tornado-related projects of all sorts of kinds. And Zach and I don't know all that much about that. I don't know. I've done one tornado shelter. Have you done anything?
Max, I've done one or two tornado shelters, and I definitely learned a lot more on some more specific things.
Give you an idea about how much we know about tornadoes. While editing this episode, I realized Zach and I said earthquake instead of tornado many times. It's just not something that comes up too often in our offices. So obviously we've got a lot to learn here, and we hope you learn something too.
My name's David Cumming. I'm a principal at RLG, and I've been with RLG for 22 years now. RLG is a structural, civil, forensics, and surveying company. Architects come to us, and we assist them in designing the skeleton or the structure of the building.
How big of a firm is RLG?
About 80 all in. So nice. Yeah, we have three offices, one in Peoria, Illinois, Fort Worth, and then the main hub is out of Dallas.
Right on. Licenses everywhere?
I think we're licensed in 48 states now.
Cool. I know there's, a lot of cool projects on your website. You've done some pretty impressive stuff. So get into the questions here. Like we said, we don't know very much about earthquakes. A little bit about earthquakes. We don't know anything about tornadoes. when we decided we would talk with you, I looked at ASC 7 to figure out what a tornado load would be, right? And that's kind of what we're trained, our first thing to do is go look at what the design loads are. And there is nothing. There's a little chapter and it says tornadoes have not been considered in the wind load provisions. So I guess to kick off, why is that and where would I go? What do I do?
All right. First off, tornadoes isn't really something that particularly happens very frequently. And so that's why it's kind of put on its own little portion. So a mean return of 500 years is something to, I think they've talked about with tornadoes. Mm-hmm. So although they're traumatic events, they're very localized and very narrow in their stretch.
Zach, in both the recent tornado conversations we just had, this keeps coming up. Low probability or extremely low probability. In this way, tornado loads are way different than our typical wind at, let's say, a 700-year mean recurrence interval, or snow, or even seismic.
It's really funny, the low probability. You don't really want to take those numbers to heart, but from what we found online, the bookofodds.com, kind of going through the odds of being hit by a tornado is one, and it's like 4.5 million.
Pretty ridiculous.
It's pretty ridiculous, but to compare it to some other things, like the odds of a person dying from a fall off a cliff is 1 in 4.1 million. It's pretty wild. Or leprosy, 1 in 2.9 million. It means you're 38 times more likely to be hit directly by a tornado than winning the lottery. That's hitting that low probability or extremely low probability compared to that typical wind we're designing for.
And I saw some of these numbers jump around. I think it probably varies. Are you in Tornado Alley? But the lowest number I found for a tornado, lowest number for a chance of a tornado hitting your home is 1 in 3 million. That's so low.
It's generally relegated to right now. It's on ICC 500. That's where the design is really under right now. And, that's the storm shelter design.
So there isn't a specific building design component to the ICC 500, correct?
It's a broad design document that actually outlines how to design for those types of structures. Yes.
Yeah. Do you know, I mean, how spatial is the 500-year recurrence interval on a tornado? Is it, you know, when you're looking at a larger event, you're covering a much bigger area. So I feel like it's easier to, you know, picture that a storm might hit the coast, you know, and it hits the whole coast. But a tornado, right. it's so small. Is that the tornado will hit, you know, this small area, you know, every sort of every 500 years, if we, you know, go in those terms? Or is it this storm has the potential every 500 years?
I'll just talk in what happened here recently. Back in October, there was a tornado that hit the Dallas area. And when it hit Dallas, it kind of took out a swath of like a 2-block area for a rather several mile area. And then it lifted up and then went back down again. So where it hit, it really made quite a mark on the landscape. And then about 3 or 4 blocks over, then it looked like just a normal day. So
wow.
Where it hits, it really can really do quite a bit of damage.
Is this something cities are looking at in respect to resiliency? You know, a lot of cities, at least on the West Coast, are thinking through, you know, big seismic events and what should happen to the city and the economy. Are cities taking any sort of approach with a tornado design? I understand it's a pretty wild load to have to design your whole building for, but you know, there's potential that you could have a big impact on the economy with an event like that.
This first off is where the IBC is headed is providing storm shelter as a part of schools. And so basically it can be a variety of different types of buildings on campus, but generally they have to be large enough to house a good portion of the student population in event of those severe events. And so that's now been added into the building code. That's really been a byproduct, I think, of really what happened in Joplin several years ago. And so with that, they've tried to incorporate some of that. When do tornadoes hit frequently? And tornadoes generally occur in the springtime. And they generally hit around between 3 and 7 p.m. towards the afternoon. Wow. So generally, those aren't, I mean, there's school events going on, but generally it's towards the end of the day. There's some probability of location, probability of portion of the year, and then time of day. So those are all factors that generally all go into some of that design. So right now it's been a push to get schools with storm shelters on them. There are clients that have asked for, like in some of the major office buildings, some clients asking for some hardened areas where they can ride out storms as well.
Mm-hmm. Is that a step down from an official storm shelter?
To do a storm shelter, there's a very set criteria for that. Mm-hmm. It's kind of a letter of law that you followed the storm shelter design versus some of these other areas are known to be hardened, but they may not actually be fully classified as storm shelters. Mm-hmm. That makes sense.
What are hardened areas? FEMA has some good documentation to define what a hardened area is. The lingo to me gets a little blurry, but from my understanding, you can define a portion of a building that may already have the lowest probability of collapse and maybe reinforce it slightly more. There are 4 categories of protection: refuge areas, best available refuge areas, hardened areas, or you can go with the official storm shelter meeting ICC 500.
In the news, these are almost always grouped as a different name.
There used to be a house here. I can see the driveway. This house was completely leveled down with slab.
And they waited out the storm in the safe room?
A tornado safe room.
Safe rooms.
The difference between kind of the hardened area and the best available refuge areas, the specific portion of the area is designed to carry or kind of resist higher loads from wind-borne debris. The best refuge area is simply an area of the building that an architect or an engineer has deemed to be the safest, in accordance with FEMA P431. Typically in these areas, Max, you'll find that there's no windows and ideally a short span roof. Now, I think it's interesting that there's 4 designations of these hardened areas. And I wonder if it's ever relayed to the people that are in those buildings what those different designations mean.
Today, I'm getting our storm shelter ready.
Scrolling around on the internet, I think it's pretty clear people don't understand the designation. you'll really only hear two terms, storm shelter and safe room.
With your experience in tornadoes and with the recent one in Texas, do you guys go out and look at structures after the tornado has occurred? And would you mind walking us through what you kind of see? And, you know, is it similar to, you know, what you see on the news with, you know, houses just being completely destroyed everywhere? Or are you seeing buildings going through, you know, loading cycles that are kind of yielding shear walls? Or
these storm events are very severe. So there's really no, when you see a building nearly destroyed, there's really no, the load events on these buildings are probably in the order of about a factor of 10 versus what they generally see. So that building was never intended to withstand those loads. And so when it receives those loads, it generally doesn't fare very well.
Mm-hmm.
But when you're kind of outside the major path, what we see a lot, though, is it has to do with the garage door and which way the garage door is facing. That doesn't sound like a big deal, but what starts happening is a lot of times the garage doors blow out. And once you blow out a major wall component, if it was a window, a large bay window, a large garage door, what starts happening is all the air pressure that was going around the building is now going into the building. And so now you've actually started pressurizing that balloon. So the original event of saying the garage door yielding and pushing in on itself or a bay window cracking, that pressure goes there and starts expanding the balloon, and then it'll blow out other components of the building as well.
Mm-hmm. I feel like you always see in movies that when a tornado is coming, you're supposed to crack your window. Is it sort of a wives tale? I mean, you're almost turning it, like you said, like into an open structure, and then you're inflating your building. Is that a real thing?
Yeah, there's pressure differences, and I don't think that makes much difference, obviously. You want to try to avoid pressurizing a balloon.
Yeah, I did some double checking on this one because I've seen it in so many movies and I just thought it had to be true. It's not. But at least it's one of the more popular tornado myths.
Probably every movie has it. From what we found online from the Weather Underground website, which is also an awesome app to have, it's a very common tornado myth that opening the window will equalize the pressure in your house, which is thought to protect your home from damage. And really, if you start thinking about it, if a tornado is coming straight for your home, I don't think it cares that you open your window. So it's totally unnecessary and really a waste of valuable time to get to your shelter or, you know, whatever your plan is to get out of the area. And so you should definitely not go open your windows.
Absolutely. There's a piece of it that, you know, kind of makes sense if you were worried about the tornado blowing out all your windows, but the distance that the tornado would have to pass where that's your concern versus your whole house being blown over, it just like doesn't. And, you know, now that we know the difference between an open structure when we're looking at internal pressures, like opening all your windows is going to increase your internal pressure. That's not a great idea. Okay. So while we're on it, let's debunk a few other tornado myths. So let's go. Number one, tornadoes do not hit big cities.
Max, that is false. Now, it is a big misconception that people believe they do miss, but tornadoes are not diverted at all by any structure or terrain.
I saw also like water, you know, tornadoes don't go over water. No, none of that is true. Okay. Tornadoes have picked up objects and people and set them down without damage.
Now, this one blew my mind. That is true. But I would not count as that as your shelter plan.
Okay. Best place to be during a tornado is the southwest corner of your basement.
Now, that might be the nicest place in your basement, but that's definitely wrong. Do not think that.
Just be away from some windows. If you're in your car on the road when a tornado is approaching, hiding under an overpass is your safest bet.
So when I read this, I was like, this is going to be completely true. I've always been told this. I've always seen this. But that, Max, is the worst place to hide when the tornado is coming. And like one of the big myths, taking shelter under an overpass is one of the most dangerous things you can do when a tornado is approaching. The reason has to do with the way the tornado winds potentially interact with the bridge structure. If you're hiding under there, one of those things slip off a support or lift and fall or break. That's going to be a really bad day. So at the very least, taking shelter under an overpass puts you at a higher elevation, but with no protection from debris or wind.
There you go. Don't do it. When does a code require that you have a tornado shelter? Is there, you know, would a residence ever require one, or is it once you get into, you know, public spaces?
As of right now, there's nothing for a private owner having to do that. Right now, it's kind of geared around schools because basically you send your kids to school and you want them to return home safely, or you want them to have a safe place in event of a severe storm event.
Mm-hmm. Is it a pretty popular add-on, if you want to call it that, when you're doing new construction, even if it was residential?
My experience on some of the owners, quite the premium cost in these items.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not that people want to roll the dice and play with Mother Nature that, no, the storm won't hit us. But it's more the reality of owners trying to best use their limited resources. And so it's not to say that safety is not important. There is major cost on these endeavors if they want to go that direction.
I saw, you know, online, if you just search around storm shelters, you'll get something at, you know, Walmart for $5,000, still very expensive. But do these, you know, is that the same thing as an actual storm shelter rated, you know, designed by a structural engineer as far as capacity, or those tend to be much lower?
You mean like the little...
Yeah, like the pre-manufactured, like, is that a, you know, a cheap substitute for the real thing, or does it do anything?
Well, a couple things about it is, one, generally they're much smaller, and mm-hmm. so it's much easier to put a heavy load onto a smaller element than, say, as opposed to put that same amount of load onto a... roof member spanning over a gymnasium. So you're just talking that order of magnitude of load. So, I mean, generally those behave fine. Generally, a lot of them that I've seen, you bury them in the ground and then you have a heavy door to enter those. And I haven't heard any issues with those, but it would just be very difficult to have, you know, 1,000 of those buried in the schoolyard. So.
Right. So the ICC 500 is giving you your loading criteria, and to my understanding, it a lot more than maybe just loading, but you know, what you need to do with your doors and stuff like that. Is that standard getting updated the more tornado events that we have? You know, similar to seismic, it seems every bigger event we have, the codes change due to having more data. After these events, are you going out and seeing things with storm shelters that could be improved and that the standard should be improved? Or is the standard fairly good at providing the safety that is required for a big event?
Well, speaking as a structural engineer, what we kind of feel is fine is obviously the loads. And we can design either a masonry building, a steel building, or concrete building to withstand those loads. A lot of it has to do the changes of kind of how the application of these things is applied, you know, such as entrances and doors and mechanical systems and all the additional things that go along with that so that they can ride out the storms as well.
I think it's interesting you brought up mechanical systems. I saw a video once of a rooftop unit in a storm event, flew off one building and hit three more buildings and just kept going. Is there a push to fasten those down better, or is it just kind of what it is? I mean, I understand those loads were just absolutely massive. So,
well, out of the last storm here in Dallas, a lot of times you think of just wind pressure on a building and leading to think of wall loads and pressure on the walls and such. But when you have a tornado, you have a tremendous amount of debris that's kicked up. And that debris, when it's traveling, you know, there's buses in the air, there's roofs flowing off, one building hits another building. Those elements can do quite a bit of damage flying in the air. So just beyond mechanical systems, it can be cars and other buildings as well.
You mentioned steel for shelters, and I'm just curious. I've only ever designed one shelter, and it was masonry. And I've only ever even seen that. Can you Can you detail a steel structure to be tornado resistant or whatever we call it? And what would that look like even as far as, you know, the projectile loads I know are very high. So what is the wall of these things?
Yeah, that's really where it starts. Really, it's with projectiles, and the projectiles start with 2x4s. And I know Texas Tech had done a lot of testing, because a lot of the debris that kicks up in a tornado is building components. Those building components, a lot of them are 2x4s. And the 2x4s that support one building become a missile that gets impacted on the next building. And so they've done a lot of research on firing. They actually have a gun that actually fires 2x4s, and then they can rate components and test components of a building based on that.
3, 2, 1.
Masonry does reasonably well when it's reinforced, so it can take those that profile impact. Obviously, concrete does pretty well. Plywood wouldn't do so well if it's just a single layer of plywood and you shot a 2x4 at it. It'll go through it. So that's part of what's going on. You can design a steel building, but how do you skin the building to make it resistant to all this debris impacts that it will receive?
With these new kind of drive to get schools to have more tornado shelters, are you guys going in and adding a shelter to the building, or is it in the building? I've seen some projects where they made the whole gym a tornado shelter and put concrete on the roof. Is there a typical direction that you guys are going with, retrofitting, let's say, a tornado shelter into a school?
It's still a variety of things that are being done, from classrooms to cafeterias to gymnasiums. What's nice about gymnasiums is it's a wide open space, so you can get a lot of people in there. Negative about gymnasiums is you've got a lot of load to resist by long span elements, and the loads and the cost of those go up quite a bit. But there's quite a bit of that going on. There's been use of underground parking garages to assist in housing people as well.
Do you get any reduction in larger areas when you're looking at tornado loading, or is that it's 250 or depending on the storm in your area, it's uniform no matter what?
It's pretty uniform. You have this massive loads. Another component that we need to consider as well is a collapse of an adjacent building upon the building. If you built a storm shelter next to a other building, let's say a classroom, and a classroom's adjacent to a new gymnasium that's rated for a storm shelter, you need to make sure that if that building that wasn't designed for a tornado gets hit by the tornado and falls upon the adjacent building. So it's just another load event to consider a part of the design.
Yeah. How do you design for that? Is there a sort of guidance? Or are you, taking the weight the other building and assuming, that it's falling at some rate?
Yeah, basically you take the weight of the building and then you have an impact factor that you add upon that. And then you design that adjacent building for that load.
Is the impact factor something that's in ICC 500, or is that something that is basically just an in practice, you think it through?
Or in practice. And
yeah.
Kind of going back to what you're seeing in the field, you kind of brought up that when the tornado hits, it's very devastating and there's nothing to really, go back and look at. But I guess the structures are nearby that are still seeing that loading. Are there failures happening with those buildings?
Right, right. Obviously, there's buildings that are ripped down to the foundation and, they're total loss. And then there's buildings that a portion of the building has been severely damaged. And then there's other buildings where there's debris impacts, which the building in a whole does well, but the debris impact, generally like limbs and things falling on the roof, will damage individual components of the roof, and that those will need to be repaired. And so that's quite a few things that we've gotten involved with, is somebody knows that there's something wrong with the roof, and they'll call us out, and we'll see what to look at and see how to address the repairs on those items.
Is there, when you're doing new design, are people ever asking to survive a Category 3 or an EF3, which, you know, gets up to a wind speed of 165 miles an hour? That seems pretty reasonable to design around. Are people kind of pushing to survive these higher tornado events?
Obviously people want structures that'll last a while. A lot of times it comes down to little components on buildings that do a great amount of good. Such as, I'll just call them hurricane straps, you know, basically making sure that the building can withstand uplift loads, that it's just not a gravity connection, that there is some component of that. It's just not simply a bearing connection where there's some type of strap or item that actually holds the elements together. Redundancy and load paths, making sure that if a component fails, that the whole either wall or roof system doesn't just fail because of one component, either that was under designed or installed poorly. So just additional ways that little things add up. Those little components, those clips are very inexpensive, but they do a great deal of improvement in like wood frame building design.
Yeah. Once you're out of the tornado path, do newer buildings tend to do a little bit better that have these mechanical fasteners? You know, they didn't exist 40 years ago as much. It was toenails and whatnot.
I'll just compare it to tornado events are very severe, but when you're kind of on the fringe of the damage area, it is quite like hurricane damage. I've been to a couple seminars, and it's interesting. Each one of them talks about all the damage that's been done, and the buildings that generally have performed the poorest were actually built in like the 70s and 80s, and a lot of them were like track homes where
it
comes and builds them as quickly as it can. But the older buildings seem to have behaved better craftsmanship all the way along, and then most recently, the newer buildings have performed well because of the, you know, the better inspections, better designs, and more elaborate systems. So generally, there's kind of if it's a new building, it probably do all right. Some of the older buildings obviously have some issues, but as a whole, they generally behave pretty well. I mean, they've been there for a reason for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of that swath in the middle there that's sometimes a little concerning.
When we were setting up the interview, Alex brought up as a topic, you know, talking about the strengthening. And I'm curious, is that, you know, do you go in and strengthen buildings ever? And that's sort of where the question before, like, do people request a higher performance? Is strengthening really a part, or is it a repair and putting in tornado shelters where they should be?
Well, I'll say this way, it's a little bit similar to like when you're in a car accident, right? And it doesn't take a whole lot nowadays to total a car out, right?
Yeah.
You know, you get in a fender bender, and then lo and behold, you know, the frame's bent, and you got to do all the repair to make it right. And then you just total it and buy a new one. So sometimes that happens in buildings as well, where it may be considered a total or loss. But if you really had the gumption on some of the buildings, if it was historic in nature and it was damaged, if you really wanted to spend the time and effort, there may be ways to salvage. Is not a good word, but you can put the effort forth to kind of rebuild them.
Mm-hmm.
And probably build them better than what they were originally. But, you know, bottom line, it comes down to cost of these things. And a lot of times going back and kind of retrofitting some of the buildings is quite an amount of effort to do that. And, you know, you got to pull it apart and then put it back together again. And that's a lot of time and effort. Just comes down to cost.
Yeah, it sounds like it's almost like increasing the risk category of a building. You know, you've got to go in and relook at everything and strengthen everything and, you know, piece by piece kind of.
Yeah.
You mentioned going to seminars and stuff. Is there any you know, big changes coming up in tornado design that you know we could see, or any new products out there that are going to potentially, you know, change the market? I'm sure they all say they will, but anything that gets you excited?
Tornadoes don't get me excited. I never look forward to them. We do look to help people. Obviously, these are severe events, and people do need professional guidance and, you know, kind of the steps to move forward, and what directions we find as structural engineers we can assist in those efforts. Things coming down the pipe. I'm probably not on the edge of knowing all that's coming down the pipe. There is more on that storm shelters for schools. It was for the addition. You had to make if you had a small addition to it, existing school, you just had to take care of the addition, and now you're going to have to take care of the whole campus. And so that again is putting more cost burden on these school facilities for these not only a small addition, it'd be a large addition to house a campus for the school. A storm shelter.
To wrap us up, what kind of performance can we or should we expect out of structures on the risk category spectrum? So is it reasonable to say we can design risk category four structures to meet immediate occupancy or similarly like risk category two, collapse prevention? Or is this, you know, kind of out of the question given the loads that we see?
Obviously, you can build a storm shelter. And again, it comes down to cost, and obviously, people like their bay windows, and people like the granite countertops, as opposed to knowing that that they're built. I mean, there are people. I'm not saying nobody does, but it ultimately comes down to cost. And I don't think that there's been a whole lot of in the past. There wasn't a whole lot of push for that. Mm-hmm. But you know, it's not saying that tornadoes now are more frequent, but I think when people see videos, I mean, it's one thing to read it in the newspaper that a tornado hit an area, but it's another to see the damage of that, and then even videos of during the events. And so those types of things really do stick with people longer, and then those images kind of say, okay, well, what can we do about it, because people are a little more familiar about it. Although it comes down to how often these events occur, and, you know, the path that they travel and those types of things.
Just thinking about risk categories brought up another question for me. So with schools having the big push for tornado shelters and design, what about a hospital? You know, a place where people can't help themselves necessarily. Is there a push with those? Are those hardened structures in a sense?
I will say that push hasn't really started yet. I think it really had started with the schools, because you're sending your little son or daughter to a school, and you want to make sure that they're safe. And it's not saying that you don't want grandma in a hospital to be safe. It's just taking a little bit longer for that to kind of take root, I think. So yeah, that's probably an area in the future that'll become more of a push.
David, thank you so much for talking with us and giving us some time out of your day.
Yeah, not a problem. I appreciate talking to you guys. And first time I've done anything like this, but really enjoyed talking with you guys.
Well, we hope you enjoyed our talk with David Cummings, principal over at RLG. Again, this is kind of a two-parter, and we'll be speaking with another engineer over there in a couple of weeks. Learn a little bit more about tornadoes. Have a great day. Stay safe and healthy out there.